Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In a world where the line between right and wrong has become increasingly blurred, it is of the utmost importance that believers are able to stand firmly on the Word of God. Stay tuned as Pastor Ben Lawson of Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills in Aberdeen, North Carolina, brings us another teaching from the Sword of the Spirit, the Word of God.
Come to the water, you who thirst, and you'll thirst no more. Come to the Father, you who work, and you'll work no more. And all you who labor, to the broken and shamed, love is here, love is now, love is pouring from His hands, from His brow.
This is The Cutting Edge. Now, here is Pastor Ben.
He continues his message, Perfect Love, from the book of 1 John, Chapter 4, verses 1 through 21.
Letting people know your business when you're in a trial. We're going to get to that a little bit later, but check this out. If you got all of us together, I know this for a fact, and you go, this thing I'm going through, no one's ever called. So I'm so embarrassed. I'm so ashamed. And you get everyone together, three-fourths of the ones have gone through that stuff. And they're thinking the same thing, right? Oh, I've never gone through that. And so what a resource of wealth that we can tap into when we're going through stuff. Because I guarantee there's someone else that went through it as well. We can tap into that. So this isolation thing is just, it's for someone else besides Christians. And I think one of the most important things is to get to know God is to get to know His Word. In fact, people even reject it. Now, I have to warn you. Please. Now, I want you guys to listen to this. It's very important. Please, in the 15 years of me being a pastor here at Calvary Chapel, here, and then those other years of being an elder, one thing I know, do you know Christians love to be a la carte Christians? Now, I know my wife, Carla, when she goes to a restaurant, it drives the waitress crazy. Because she wants to, can I replace this with that? And can I a la carte this? And can I do that? Can you put the cream cheese on the side? And can you know? That's okay when you're eating, okay? It's not okay when it comes to the Bible and knowing the Bible. Because a la carte Christians are those Christians that do not want to be challenged. They don't want to change. They don't want to be stretched because in their pride, they say, I don't want to do that because I don't like that. I don't want to be challenged. And that makes me then have to do something else. I have to change my way of thinking. I have to many times let loose of this and grab a hold of that. And I don't want to, so they just pick out the area of scriptures or the things that they want to believe in and not the whole scripture. A la carte Christians. It doesn't work like that, folks. I'm sorry to say, I have tried that as well. It doesn't work like that. It's the whole scripture. We can't just pick and choose. Those that do, they don't want to change. They don't want to be challenged. And as a result, their life, not so good. There's never any change. And do you think that God is gonna okay that? No. You're gonna get stretched. He loves you too much to leave that alone. You're gonna have to get into that word and go, yeah, that's the word. Yep, I know, Lord, you're speaking to me about that. And receive it. And walk in it. God loves you, man. He's not going to leave you alone. You're his kid. He's going to stretch you. so you can be more like him. Now, and so John summarizes there in verse 6, if we know our word and we are open to the spirit of the truth, the Holy Ghost, we will know the false doctrine. In fact, John has told us all that we do need to know to identify the heresy in our world today. That is, if a person draws people closer to God, if you see someone pulling them closer to God, if he embraces both the deity and the humanity of Jesus Christ, and if he encourages folks to read the scripture, he is of the spirit. You pretty much know that guy is really, tracking in the spirit. He's of the spirit. On the other hand, if he diminishes either the deity or humanity of Christ, if he makes people feel, distant from God, or if he makes light of the word, he is in error. Let's talk about lightness of the word. Let's do that right now. What does that mean in your life? Make light of God's word. It's a question that won't be answered today, but it's a question I guarantee will be answered or talked about in tonight's home fellowships. And in your own home. Write it down in your Bible. Write it on your notepad. I want you to think about three questions regarding the scriptures. Making light of His Word. What does that mean in your life? In your life, personally, what does that mean in your life? Making light of His scripture. Number two, who does that? What kind of person does that? Who are they that do that? Think about that. Who does that? Does the media? Does the number three, if you're taking notes, finally ask this question. Do the 21st century church do that? Do we have churches of God that says we represent Jesus Christ? Do they do that? Do they make light of the scriptures? I think you'll be very forthcoming to answer those three questions in light of the scriptures. Well, John continues now as you can feel him almost shifting gears there in verse 7a. He goes from testing the spirits to then speaking about God's love. And as John puts the clutch in and changes gears, folks, a bit, he tells us that even though we are to test those spirits, we must not become cynical, that we are to still, our challenge is to love. Although we are able to identify heresy, and we should, and we are able to identify pseudo-spirituality, those that just use Christianity, we must also be those who love, for God is love. And how are we to win those in error? It's simple. Paul tells us in Ephesians 4:15, and it should come up on the page here, 4:15, it's a very interesting thing here. Scripture here, it's really good. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. What do? We speak the truth, but it needs to be in love. Don't get the bullhorn out. Don't stand on the corner over there. You're going to hell. I've heard that before. I've heard people up on picnic tables and at colleges and bullhorns at street corners telling people they're going to hell as they drive by. Come on. I wonder how many people said, you're right, let me repent right now. Let me pull my car over and let me repent. Can I have the bullhorn for a minute? You're obnoxious. The truth in love. You sit down with anyone and speak the truth in love, there's going to be some things happen. When those guys in bicycles come by the house, man, they look miserable. They're hot. They got a tie on. I go, dude, get rid of the tie. I mean, you know, you got to loosen that tie before you teach me anything about the cult. They don't like that either when I say that. But you know what I do? I go in, I give them some iced tea or something. Because goodness gracious, they're usually young, and that's why they're vulnerable. And they're hot, man. They're just sweating, and they're, you know, I come out, I give them, I say, calm down, just calm down. I bring my Bible out. I sit down. The very first, after they drink a little bit, I just talk about where they're from, how they got here. You know, I say, I know where you guys are representing, and I just want to know personally what's going on. They talk to me, and then they get done with it. They're relaxed. What do you think I ask them the very first thing out of them, right out of the gate? Do you believe the deity, that God is fully man and fully God? That Jesus is fully man and fully God? Well, the Bible is the two-step. No, we're done. The answer I was looking for is yes, and then we could talk. But because you say no, I can't talk to you. My Bible says you need to go. You come by again. Same thing. Again, same thing. Finally, they came by Shauna Baker. And they found out that Shauna went to our church. He goes, that Pastor Ben fella? We're out of here. Bye. I got big X on my house. They wouldn't come by. And I said, what's the mice? See, they come by, get iced tea anytime they want. Love. Yeah, love them, man. You can shout at them and scream at them. You know? Love them. I'm not inviting them to my house. Paul said not to. I can eat dinner with them. Man, I will give them a cold glass of tea and love on them and pray for them. Well, now it's interesting for your notes. Earlier, John told us God is light. He told us that in the first chapter of 1 John, verse 5. In fact, Moses tells us he's a consuming fire in Deuteronomy 9. A consuming fire. He's also a God is light. Taking together these descriptions of God, well, it paints me a tremendous portrait. A powerful portrait of God. For you see, we can either be very lovely, fire there can be very lovely, or it can be terrifying, can't it? You see, it all depends on your relationship with the fire. You understand that? Look, one relationship with the fire, and I have a fireplace at home, is I have a fire in my fireplace. Oh, it's lovely. Smells great. It's warm. It gives light. Got my babe with me. Chilling. Atmosphere, big time. Barry Manilow. No, I'm just kidding. Barry White, that's it.
baby.
And it's good, isn't it? On the other hand, outside that fireplace raging through my house, fire is terrifying. It's destructive. So too, he who embraces what God did for him on the cross of Calvary will be one who softens, experiences the warmth of his love, and one who glows in his light. On the other hand, John tells us, not only here, but he also tells us in John 3:36, that, if we don't accept God's free gift of salvation, free, we feel the heat of his wrath because the sin of unbelief abides in us. You see, John leaves no misunderstanding here. He's the kind of guy that gets in your grill a bit. It's truly a contrasting scripture here, love versus wrath of God. And I don't know, but I know one thing. This free thing, free. We forget. And we have, as humans, we sometimes want to pay for something. We don't really understand free. Well, 1 John 4, 9 and 10 gives us a life lesson that comes out of Romans 3, 11. What is that? Well, it declares that no man seeks God. Instead, God seeks us. He says the hounds of heaven after us, and not only seeks us, but also pulls us into his kingdom by his provision that he made on Calvary through his son. He does the whole enchilada. Everything. Now, the question, will mankind accept this free gift? Again, let's talk about free gifts. Here's the thing about free gifts in humanity. I don't know what's wrong with us. Look, I'll go to a yard sale, and I used to go to a lot of them with my wife, not so much anymore, but I'll go to a yard sale, and if something's free, look, I've had yard sales, and I'll say, I'll give that away. It's pretty nice, it still works, just give it away. You can't give stuff away. You gotta put a price on it. Even at a yard sale, you gotta at least put a quarter on it, then they'll take it. But if it's free, not so much. Look, we've had bands in here. And free food and free bands and free this. Yes, Lewis, Danny, youth, all kinds, and no one comes hardly. But as soon as we put a $5 door fee on it, packs out the place. I don't get that. Do you guys get that? You shouldn't get that because you're the same. It's something innately in us, and I don't know if it's our flesh or if it's just the enemy that tells us that free is not good for us. We got to earn it. And I don't know what has happened to some of us. Why it's that we get saved and we accept grace so easily. It's like, oh yeah, just pour upon your grace on me. I know I'm a sinner. And I'm so void of everything and anything. I just want your grace. It's so wonderful. But then, after we walk with the Lord for a season, then we become mature. And we have it all together. We begin to think that we can add the grace. There's things that we need to do. We have done. The Apostle Paul, echoes this in Colossians 2:6 when he says, by writing to us, even as you have received Christ, so just walk in him. Just walk in. We see, even as you received Christ, now you need to get to work. Just walk in him. Herein is love, John says. Not that we love God, not that we have to have devotions, not that we need to go on mission trips and to the deepest and darkest places in Africa or South America. God loves us and sent his son. And that's it. To be a propitiation for our sins, to take the place, to be the scapegoat. Christian, just get that. Get that first. Seed it into your heart. Understand and receive and live in that. And when you do, with help from the Holy Spirit, what happens is our hearts are so overwhelmed and we're just so, God loves me and he put himself in me and all the rest, and you think about that, and then it's like there's nothing to keep you from serving him. It's like you're so joyful to serve him, you're so into him, you're so loving him. It's like, man, I don't have to do this, but I get to do this. It's not a have-to thing anymore, it's a get-to thing. It's a love thing. And the more that you love him, it's not like our spouses or people we know. The more we love him, the more we want to love him. The more that we, there's even more and more. And you're more grateful, and you're more into him, and you more you want to serve him, serve him. He never gets old. He never lets you down. He never disappoints you. And that's the thing that John wants to tell us, even when it comes to giving our money in those boxes back there. Do it because you love him. I love you, Lord. Here's my whatever. I love you, Lord. Teach the word here. I love you, Lord, here. And man, when I got that, I remember this, folks. I'm not trying to brag or anything, but I'm just telling you. When I got that concept of just loving God, and something happened in my life that man, he showed me his love. And stuff, I just went through a season. You know, go through a season like that. And I'm like, I couldn't give enough. I gave so ridiculously crazy that, you know, my wife finally had to say, hey, we're going to need groceries this week. But I was just like, I wish I could do more. I wish I could do more. I wish I could do more. I just love them so much. And it wasn't, I didn't particularly, you know, love the church all that much. I mean, it was cool, and I served in it and everything, but I love God. God's the one that just is like, yeah. And I knew my 10% went to the storehouse, the church, but guess what? I had another 10%. It was going everywhere. It was just going everywhere. I couldn't give enough. It was like, yeah, God. Now, that was for a season. But it's just something I went through that I understood how much God loved me. And out of that, there was no condemnation of serving Him. I couldn't serve Him enough. Now, the flip side of that. And I've gone through this before. It's the attitude of, what can you do for me? That's the attitude. And there's churches full of people that come in and sit down and go, okay, church, what can you do for me? Here I am. And by the way, you're not getting my money until I get entertained. Until I feel like giving it. I feel like giving it. Instead of a decision. And they will just, it's like that whole attitude is manifested of, what can you do for me, God? Basically. Those that play on grace, that play Christian just to see how they can prosper or be entertained. I remember 38 years ago, maybe it was 35, I don't remember, we were dating. And we were dropping different things, drinking and this and that, my wife's mind. And I happened to, going through my stuff at the house, getting rid of different, you know, records and things I didn't need anymore, I come across some marijuana. And I smoked it. And about that time, as God busts me, here comes Carla. Ooh, is she upset. And you can't get rid of that smell like in a heartbeat, you know what I mean? She's like, and my wife can smell very good, she's Italian. And she's like, what are you doing? You're damn it. She was like, God, do we really need to be, you know, looking to get married? And am I going to have to put up with this for the rest of my life? And man, it was ugly. I remember, folks, I remember going to every church service I could find with her. Why? To get out of trouble. To appease the situation. I was using God. I didn't care much about what the guy said. I was just, can I please get out of here? Can I go now? I remember saying, hey, honey, after worship going, hey, I need to go work on my job. Lie. Just to appease her. Fast forward so many years. Now I got a couple kids that are doing that. 20 something, they got in trouble. Now they decide they're going to come to church. Now this, I'm telling you, two of my boys. One of them is, used to be a pastor, he's serving God. Chris, I don't think he'll care if I tell it on him. He got caught, man, doing something I forget. But man, he told me later, man, I went to church just to get off mom's ex list. Using God. What can you do for me? Hey, but here's the radical thing, people. God loves them yet. Can you believe that? I'm just like, lightning bolt. God loves them. And look, He loved me. I was the biggest hypocrite, man. Biggest hypocrite. Going to church. Using church. Using God. Thinking I was getting over on God. Guess what? God loved me. Loved me right into loving Him. He loves me still. And guess what? We need to love as well. We need to love them as well.
This has been The Cutting Edge, a daily teaching ministry from the Word of God, featuring Pastor Ben Lawson, Senior Pastor of Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills, Aberdeen, North Carolina. We love you, and we look forward to sharing this time every weekday at the same hour. We would love to hear from you. Write to us today at The Cutting Edge, Box 102, Aberdeen, North Carolina, 28315. Be with us next time for another edition of The Cutting Edge.
Come to the water, you who thirst, and you'll thirst no more. Come to the Father, you who work, and you'll work no more.